we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we thank Him and we bear witness that there is no deity but Him and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is His messenger. May Allah peace and prayers be shed upon Him, His companions, His household and those who follow Him until the day of judgment. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most wise and the most merciful, wisdom and mercy. These two important attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explain a lot about why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not exposing Himself explicitly to us. Why? If it is so essential to us to believe in Allah and to worship Him and to accept Him, why wouldn't He subhanahu wa ta'ala expose Himself to us explicitly so that we benefit from this explicit exposure and become firm believers in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, confirm His existence, confirm His existence, and then proceed forward and worship Him and go to Jannah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom and mercy, both of them, doesn't make this happen. Why? First of all, it is harmful to our physical existence if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expose Himself to us explicitly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants His exposure to be mercy, to be benefit, to be beneficial, to be helpful, to be something that we benefit from, not something that will harm us and destroy our physical existence. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose Himself to us in a way that is merciful to us, that is not going to destroy us. At the same time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wisdom requires that He exposes Himself to us in a way that fits the purpose of our creation, in a way that is completely compatible with the purpose we are created for. In other words, for that specific representation that Allah has created us for. Allah created us for very specific representation and very specific purpose, and for this very specific representation and purpose, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not want, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom will not make Him will to expose Himself to us in such an explicit way. First of all, let's see how harmful it is if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would expose Himself explicitly to us. One of the slaves of Allah, one of the human beings that Allah has created, the only one that Allah has given the blessing of being able to talk to Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allowed that person to be able to communicate with Him using voice, talk with Allah, and Allah have removed the veils from his ears that allowed him to hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sound exposure to Allah to a certain degree that is not going to destroy his ears. Now, this person thought that, well, if Allah has chosen me and given me this unique favor that was not given to anybody else, and Allah, by the way, does give grant unique favors to His prophets and messengers that no one else gets. Like Prophet Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he said, قَالَ رَبِّ اغْفِرْ لِي وَهَبْ لِي مُلْكًا لَا يَنْبَغِي لِأَحَدٍ مِّن بَعْدِي إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَّابِ. When he said, O Allah, forgive my sins and grant me a power, or grant me the powers of a king, the powers, special powers of a king that will not be granted to anybody after me. For you are the most giver, the most giver in gifts. So he said, O Allah, forgive me and grant me and make me a king of a kingdom with special unique powers that will never be granted to anyone after me. Unique powers. And Allah did give him unique powers of controlling the wind, of controlling the Satans and the jinn, and make them workers and slaves, and of shaving the iron. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him special powers of smelting and shaving the iron. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did bless him with these unique powers, and Allah does that. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he saw Allah granting him the unique power of being able to talk to him, he felt that if he asks Allah for one more step, for the next step, which is the ability to see Allah explicitly, then he might get it. So Prophet Musa alayhi salam, So Prophet Musa alayhi salam did ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow him to look at him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Musa, you are not going to get it. You are not going to be able to look at me. And if you want to know why, just look at this big mountain near you. Huge, big, tall mountain made of very strong, solid rock. Big, giant, tall, white mountain. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, look at this mountain. What do you think? I'm going to show myself to this mountain. I am going to expose myself explicitly to a certain degree to this mountain. And you'll see what happens. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exposed himself to the mountain was crushed in a second, in the blink of an eye. This huge, humongous mass was crushed into nothing, into absolutely nothing. And Prophet Musa alayhi salam was shocked, and he passed out, he fainted, he got like وَخَرَّ مُوسَى صَعِقًا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling this the story in the Quran, that Musa fainted as though he got electrocuted, got strong electrical shock. And of course, it's, you know, it's beyond the ability of anyone to handle such a thing, such an event of the crushing of such a huge mountain. I mean, no one can handle that and stay conscious, really. So he passed out. When he became conscious again, قَالَ رَبِّ فَلَمَّا أَفَاقَ قَالَ رَبِّ قَالَ سُبْحَانَكَ إِنِّي تُبْتُ إِلَيْكَ وَأَنَا أَوَّلُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Oh Allah, I am repenting to you. I am repenting to you from making such an unauthorized request. And I am one of the strongest believers into you. So that explains to us how harmful it is to our physical existence, how unwise it is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to expose himself explicitly to this level to us. Now, there are other people from the children of Israel, followers of the same prophet, who were very stubborn and very impolite and very denying of the signs and the exposure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them to his powers and his presence. They know a lot. They had a prophet who told them a lot about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they have seen with their own eyes a lot. They have seen the Allah. They have seen with their own eyes Allah giving them the unique miracle of splitting the sea into roads, 12 roads for them to cross through from one side to the other side. And Allah showed them what happened with their own eyes, what happened to the Pharaoh when he followed them, that he got drowned. So they got very high level of exposure in terms of knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they also got very high level of exposure in terms of miracles to and powers, and special miracles and powers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yet with such a level of exposure, those guys still denying the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, still feeling that, well, this is not enough, and they said, let us, you know, we want to see Allah eye to eye, explicitly eye to eye. وَإِذْ قُلْتُمْ يَا مُوسَى لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرًا. We are not going to believe into you until we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly. فَأَخَذَتْكُمُ الصَّاعِقَةُ وَأَنْتُمْ تَنْظُرُونَ. So you were struck by the thunder right away. Allah sent on them immediately a thunder strike. A thunder strike as a punishment. Why? Because they knew better than that. They knew better than what they asked it for. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala holds them with their level of knowledge and exposure more account to the ones who will say the same thing, because they are so ignorant and they don't know any better than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also said about the ones who demand that they see him before they believe, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks very negatively about them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that this level of exposure is not required. And it is for a person to ask for this level of exposure, this is too much. It reflects an arrogance of that person. This person wants to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to appeal to him in person to so that he believes. He thinks that he's so, you know, important that Allah himself needs to show up and and tell him, here I am, so that he can get to believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Furqan, وقال الذين لا يرجون لقاءنا لولا أنزل علينا الملائكة أو نرى ربنا لقد استكبروا في أنفسهم وعتوا عتوا كبيرا يوم يرون الملائكة لا بشرى يومئذ للمجرمين ويقولون حجرا محجورا. The ones who don't have any planning for the day when they meet us, the one who don't care about our meetings, the appointed meeting between us, which is the Day of Judgment, are saying to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we are not going to believe until we see either Allah or His angels. They come, we see them explicitly, then we believe. Allah's answer is that they have embraced such a high level of arrogance, they have elevated themselves to such a high level of arrogance that it is way beyond what they are permitted to have and what they are worthy of, and something that's very unlawful for them to claim this level of arrogance and this level of honor and might. They have elevated themselves to an elevation which is way higher than the one they truly belong to. And then Allah follows in the second verse by saying that the day they see the angels is going to be a miserable day for them. They will see the angels, Muhammad. There will come a day when they will see the angels, and this day is not going to be a good day for them. And at that time they will say, oh my, oh, and they will say, we need, they will seek an isolation, and they will cry and beg for a big isolation and big separation and a big cover from these angels, and big cover from these angels, and big barrier between them and those angels that they were, that they are seeking to see right now. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wisdom and mercy, both of them require that he will hide his explicit exposure. He will not explicitly be exposing himself to us, but he will expose himself to us in a way that is useful to us, beneficial to us. He will expose himself to us through 99 attributes, and he will give us the ability to examine these 99 attributes of him and to experience them. Those 99 attributes is exactly what we need to have a happy life in this world and in the hereafter. They are exactly what we need in this life to achieve justice, peace, and happiness. They are exactly what we need to achieve the everlasting happy life in the Day of Judgment. They exactly what we need to do our job of the specific representation and the specific job that he has created us for. They are exactly what we need so that we accomplish the task we are created for, so that we can still have the free will that Allah wants us to have, for us to be able to do the representation that he wants us to do and perform the job that he wants us to perform and fulfill the purpose that he has created us for. For us to be able to achieve that purpose, we need to have a free will. And for him showing himself to us explicitly, this will take away our free will. We will not have a free will. And you might wonder, why? Why wouldn't we have a free will if we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly? And the answer is simple. We will never, no one will ever be able to disobey Allah at this level of exposure. No one will ever, ever, under any circumstances, be able to do something that will upset Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't like when he or she is exposed to such a glory, when he or she is exposed to such a might and such a greatness. They will never ever be able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we assume, just for the purpose of further explaining the wisdom, if we assume that someone somehow is able to, which is impossible, but is able to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at such a high level of exposure, then Allah will never allow that to happen. Allah will immediately destroy him and, you know, and destroy his existence without any second chance, without any opportunity to prevent or retreat or to take back what this person did. That's it, because at such a level of exposure, it doesn't fit. It's not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow people, to allow his slaves and his creation to go against what he orders at such a level of exposure. That doesn't fit. It's not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's just something that doesn't fit with that's not compatible with the attributes of greatness and honor and glory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala owns. And for Allah to allow such a thing to happen, this will take him out of status, because that's not appropriate for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow such a thing to happen. So this level of exposure is required in order for us to be able, or to be allowed, in other words, to be allowed to go against the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not to go against the will, to go against the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To go against the mission and the purpose that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for, and for us to be allowed to go against that, we have to be at such a level of exposure. If our level of exposure exceeds that, then we will probably be like angels. Angels, no doubt that angels have higher level of exposure than us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, much higher. And this is why they are angels, and they are not allowed to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or deviate from His commands even a little bit, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, عليها لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. They don't disobey the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they do exactly as ordered. And another verse, بل عباد مكرمون لا يسبقونه بالقول وهم من خشيته مشفقون. They are honorable slaves of Allah. They do not dare to go above the limits set on them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not dare to cross the limits established on them, imposed on them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they are extremely scared of crossing these limits. Now, so that all explains why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is limiting the level of exposure that we have to Him. However, this limited level that we have, which is the 99 attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is enough. We don't need any more. If we need any more, Allah would have provided it for us. But this is exactly what we need. We need these 99 attributes, and we need the prophets of Allah to deliver them in the way, to come in the way that they have been coming, and deliver the message in the way they are delivering the message. Okay? We can't question anything. We can't say, why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send a prophet in every town? And why don't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always have a prophet 24 hours, 7 days a week, 30 days a month, 365 days a year prophet existing to answer all questions and to guide people left and right? Why? Because whatever Allah has provided, the Quran that we have, in the language it's written by, whatever Prophet Muhammad, the way he was sent, the prophets before, and all the books that were provided to them, whatever Allah has provided, Allah has determined that this is sufficient, and any more is not going to help. It's not going to change the facts. It's not going to help. And Allah is able to make this determination based on His knowledge and wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Isra, وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً فَظَلَمُوا بِهَا وَمَا نُرْسِلُ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا تَخْوِيفًا. That I am not sending, the only reason I have decided that I will not send these signs down, these miracles, physical miracles, which is a much higher level of exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you see a miracle in front of your eyes, this is a very high level of exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the person who gets to see that miracle, it becomes a big liability after that. It will be held accountable to a much higher level of responsibility and a much higher level of accountability to the person who didn't see it. And we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when the companions of Prophet Isa asked for a table, with dining table, full of food, to come down from heaven, down to earth, in front of their eyes, and they eat from it, food from heaven. And they asked him for this table in Surah Al-Ma'idah, which is the table, chapter, Surah of the Table. And Allah granted the request with one condition. Allah said yes. However, with such a level of exposure, they will be exposed to a higher level that others have not been exposed to. They will be held accountable to a much more severe accountability and a much more severe punishment. So Allah said, قَالَ فَإِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْهُمْ عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي قَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مُنَزِّلُهَا عَلَيْكُمْ فَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بَعْدُ مِنْكُمْ فَإِنِّي أُعَذِّبُهُ عَذَابًا لَا أُعَذِّبُهُ أَحَدًا مِنَ الْعَالَمِينَ. Yes, indeed, I will send it down on you. However, if any of you denied, perform any act of denial to me, denial to my attributes of greatness, if any of you do that at any level, then his punishment is going to be a torture, a pain that is not going to be given to any other person in this whole universe. And this is the seventh layer of hellfire. Three people will go to the seventh layer of hellfire. The people of the table who disobeyed Allah after being exposed to such a miracle. Second, the Pharaoh. وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ. The Pharaoh and the Pharaoh-like people, and the Pharaoh-like kings and rulers. وَيَوْمَ النَّارُ يُعْرَضُونَ عَلَيْهَا غُدُوًّا وَعَشِيًّا وَيَوْمَ تَقُومُ السَّاعَةُ أَدْخِلُوا آلَ فِرْعَوْنَ أَشَدَّ الْعَذَابِ. They are being exposed to hellfire while they are in the grave. Their souls are being exposed to hellfire when they are in the graves, and in the day of judgment they are going to be sent to the most severe punishment. And then the third people are the hypocrites that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ فِي الدَّرْكِ الْأَسْفَلِ مِنَ النَّارِ, that the hypocrites are placed in the lowest layer of hellfire. So, back to the ayah in Surah Al-Isra. وَمَا مَنَعَنَا أَن نُرْسِلَ بِالْآيَاتِ إِلَّا أَن كَذَّبَ بِهَا الْأَوَّلُونَ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, what made me decide, of course based on his wisdom subhanahu wa ta'ala, not to send these miracles again, is that it didn't do any good. I knew it didn't help. It was a liability, it was a curse, it caused those people to be held accountable to a level of accountability that made them deserve to be destroyed in this life and go to a much severe punishment in the year after. So, وَآتَيْنَا, then Allah gave an example. وَآتَيْنَا ثَمُودَ النَّاقَةَ مُبْصِرَةً, I have given the people of Thamud a divine camel that will drink half of the lake, a camel that will give milk to the entire town. Just imagine, all these gallons of milk are all coming from one gallon, from one camel, for the entire supply for the entire town. And it will drink, you know, half of the water all by itself. Incredible sign. And they denied it, and they slaughtered the camel, the divine camel. As a result, they got the severe punishment. Sending a prophet is a higher level of exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To live at the same time and see a prophet and witness a prophet, this is also a higher level of exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the norm. and the people who got prophets coming to them, talking to them, preaching to them, and they denied these prophets because these prophets come with miracles. They have denied these prophets and denied the miracles that these prophets brought with them. Those people will beware destroyed by Allah, like the people of Ad and the people of Thamud and all those towns that Allah have destroyed, all these nations that Allah have destroyed, all these nations. It was because Allah has exposed to them Himself to them to a higher level that made them accountable to a higher level of responsibility and a higher level of punishment, both in this life and in the hereafter. So, when Allah is limiting His exposure, trust me, He is doing us a big favor. He is doing it out of His mercy to preserve our physical existence and to give us some room for to have some room to make mistakes and be able to repent from them, to be able to enjoy His attributes, Sabur al-Halim, the most patient and the one who the most patient and the most tolerant. These attributes will not apply at high level of exposures. These attributes are taken away when we are having a high level of exposure. The lower is the level of exposure, the more are these attributes, the more we get out of these attributes, Al-Halim, Al-Sabur, the most tolerant, the most patient. The more exposure we have, the less Al-Halim, the less Al-Sabur that we are getting out of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us, what you have is what you need, and what you have is enough. You don't need any more. That's exactly what you need, and it's enough for you. Just use it. Use what you have, and you will do just fine. Many slaves, many humans, many men and women that Allah has created, they have used and utilized these attributes, and they were able to reach to the highest level of performance possible for human being, a human being can ever achieve. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you can recognize me through the evidence of intelligent design, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given Himself a name called al-Badi'a, Badi'a al-Samawati wal-Ard, the creative, the creator, the creative, the one who did a creative design of heavens and earth. We can easily, this level of exposure is so beautiful and so much fun to have and so much pleasure to have, so pleasurable and so sweet. When you look at the evidence of intelligent design and to recognize Allah al-Badi'a, the most creative, an intelligent car, a good car, a well-designed car, will say, will lead, will give an evidence that will give the evidence, will prove that there is an intelligent engineer, or there is an intelligent engineer, an intelligent brain that designed this car, an intelligent engineer. The heavens and earth, this perfect system, perfect miraculous system, the highly tuned, highly measured, exact quantities, no more, no less, exact distance between the earth and the sun, closer earth will bear, will burn, further earth will freeze. This air with the perfect mix of oxygen and nitrogen, this ozone layer protecting us from the harmful rays that come out of the sun. As Allah said in the Quran, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا وَهُمْ عَنْ آيَاتِهَا هُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ, that we make the that we make the skies protecting ceilings. We make in the skies protecting ceiling, protecting roof, and they turn away. And this is by itself ayah, a level of exposure that Allah is giving to us by our ability to use science and technology and to measure and to see and to examine and to appreciate and to access these this ozone layer, guarding layer, this saqfan mahfudan, the protecting roof that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created to protect us. That's a level of exposure. We are held accountable to the scientific miracles for the Holy Quran that we were exposed to, people 100 years ago were not exposed to. Why? Because right now we have enough science to validate a lot of scientific statements, a lot of secrets of nature that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said in the Quran. We have access, we have scientific tools and ways and means, we have access to scientific ways and tools and means to validate and verify this, and we're held responsible to this. We held responsible to this much level of exposure that Allah subhanahu wa himself, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exposing us to. We go to the museum, we see a very beautiful painting, and we're so wowed, we're so impressed about this beautiful painting made by an artist. And we go out camping. We go to the Rock City, for example, here in Tennessee. We stand on the top of the rock, the mountain rock, and we see a beautiful picture. Not made of fake paint. It's not now fake. The picture you see in the museum is fake. It's made of fake colors. It's not real. But now, we're not seeing a fake picture. No. We're seeing a real life picture, made of a real life material, built on a real life space. It is created in a real life media. Real life picture. It's not 2D, it's not 3D, it's not 4D. It is all kind of D's and dimensions that you can imagine. It's there. Beautiful picture. If we are so impressed and so wowed about this little painting, worthless painting made by some kind of a gifted artist, then what about Badi'a al-Samawati wal-Ard? Badi'a al-Samawati wal-Ard, the creative one of heavens and earth, the one who was so creative, was so creative to the highest level in the design of heavens and earth. The evidence of intelligent design is in that level of exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enough. What else do we need? What else do we need? If we ask for more, then وَقَالَ الَّذِينَ لَا يَرْجُونَ لِقَاءَنَا لَوْلَا أُنْزِلَ عَلَيْنَا الْمَلَائِكَةُ أَوْ نَرَى رَبَّنَا لَقَدْ اسْتَكْبَرُوا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ وَعَتَوْا عُتُوًّا كَبِيرًا يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا. The ones who are ignoring and denying the day in which they are going to meet us, they are going to be arrested and brought to us for judgment. The ones who deny this day are saying to you, we are not going to believe until we see either the angel or Allah explicitly. They are demanding an explicit level of exposure. Answer is, you are asking for something that you don't need, neither you need nor you qualify for. You don't need it and you don't qualify for it. your level is a much lower than asking for such a thing. And you don't need it. You don't deserve it. You don't need it. So you ask for something neither you deserve nor you need, nor you should ask for, because you don't know. Be careful what you're asking for. You're asking for something that will make you held accountable to a level of responsibility that no human being can handle. It's way beyond our ability to handle the level of responsibility that we will be held accountable for if we get the advantage of such an exposure to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يَوْمَ يَرَوْنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ When the day when they really explicitly see the angels, لَا بُشْرَى يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُجْرِمِينَ It is not going to be a good day for those criminals. وَيَقُولُونَ حِجْرًا مَحْجُورًا And they were going to cry and seek a big barrier, a big protecting barrier between them and the angels. Well, you had this barrier already. You were veiled from these angels. You asked to see these angels. You demanded this veil, this barrier to be removed. Okay? And you demanded to be able to see these angels. Here we go! Here are the angels you asked it for. But now guess what? It is a miserable day for you. They came here to impose on you a very severe punishment and torture. Eternal severe punishment and torture. Bad news for you. You are asking for your own bad news and own destruction. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we thank Him. We thank Him for His wisdom that made Him give us the exposure that we only need and we can handle, and will qualify us for a high level of forgiveness and tolerance. We're really, really goofy. And we really, really screwy. And we really, really do wrong things. And we need such a low level of exposure. We need it so badly. And we, because to qualify for such a high level of tolerance and high level of mercy and forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we desperately need that. However, if the level of exposure is too little, too small, then our temptations are going to conquer us, defeat us. Our only way to defeat our temptations, or by our the exposure we get to Allah by His temptation, by His attributes. How can we defeat the temptation of greed unless we use the temptation of Allah? We use the attribute of Allah, Al-Razzaq, the sustenance provider. Unless we use that, then, you know, how can we overcome our greed? How can we sacrifice precious time, money, and effort to help others and to establish His representation on earth and to follow His manners? How can we do that if we are not exposed to His attributes? How? Including the attribute that he is implementing, that tells the attributes that tell us that he implements the strategy of or the policy or the rule of stick and carrots. We need that. We desperately need such, at least this level of exposure. We can't do it without this level of exposure. What confirms that is Hadith Aisha radiallahu anha, when she said that أول ما أنزل علينا من القرآن آيات الجنة والنار ولو كان أول ما أنزل علينا من القرآن آيات الحلال والحرام، لا تقتلوا ولا تزنوا ولا تسرقوا، لقتلنا ولا زنينا ولا سرقنا. The first verses that were revealed from the Holy Quran were the verses that talk about Jannah and Hellfire, carrots and stick verses. And indeed, if the first verses that were revealed in the Holy Quran were the verses that the rules that talk about the rules of halal and haram, the verses that say is don't steal, don't commit adultery, and don't kill, we would have not listened to these verses, and we would have killed, we would have committed adultery, and we would have stolen from each other. So the bottom line there is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us exactly what we need and give us the tools to be able to comprehend and examine, appreciate and recognize these beautiful attributes that He subhanahu wa ta'ala has made, has taught about Himself and exposed about Himself. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tell us that He is Al-Aziz and He is the source of the Izzah, and so and whomsoever wishes to acquire any kind of Izzah, the only way is to get it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through doing, fulfilling His requirements, through standing up for His representation, through doing the mission that He asked us to do. That is the only way we can seek, that's the only legal way of seeking Izzah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, من كان يريد العزة فإن العزة لله جميعا إليه يصعد الكلم العمل الصالح إليه يصعد الكلم الطيب والعمل الصالح يرفعه. Whomsoever seeks Izzah, he should seek it through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for He is the sole owner of the true Izzah. Whomsoever seeks any other Izzah from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gets a fake Izzah. Now what's the difference between the true Izzah and the fake Izzah? The fake Izzah is a short term Izzah that is granted by Allah for ease, that is granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a certain wisdom for a short period of time, just a short period of time, temporary izzah, followed by everlasting miserable life and hellfire. That is the short term izzah. It is a izzah, it's a fake izzah, because it will be followed by severe humiliation and pain and sorrow and regret and hellfire. What kind of izzah is that? What kind of izzah? This is really a bad izzah. This is a fake izzah. This is a izzah that, thank you, I don't want it. Keep it to yourself. I don't want this kind of izzah. You know, this izzah is really not good to anybody. It's unfair izzah. The person who takes this kind of izzah, he's doing injustice to himself. يظلم نفسه. He's doing injustice to himself because he's really paying a heavy price for nothing. But the true izzah, which is the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the everlasting izzah in heaven, in paradise, the everlasting happy life full of izzah in Jannah. That is the true Izzah. What if it had... But the price to pay for this Izzah is small price. Short-term sacrifice. Short-term damage. Short-term pain. Short-term punishment in this life. Followed by everlasting Izzah time in Jannah. The opposite to that is the fake Izzah. It is the short-term, temporary Izzah in this life, followed by an everlasting, miserable humiliation and hellfire. Which one is a better deal? Of course, the true Izzah, which is the Izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why Allah called the rewards of the shaitan, the promised rewards of the shaitan, as a fake, deceiving promises, because they are all short-term based, only temporary in this life for a short term, and they will be followed by an eternal miserable life in hellfire. Extremely expensive price to pay for such worthless Izzah, for such worthless period of time where we get Izzah. On the other hand, or where we get the reward from the Satan. On the other hand, the rewards of Allah has a price to pay, definitely. Is to stand up, is to do your job and stand up for your representations on earth. It doesn't matter how much it will cost you. And definitely, not everybody is able to pay the full price. And not everybody is going to get the full reward. You know, it's how much price you can pay. Pay as much as you can. Be as much, participate in the solution as much as you can. Be part of the solution as much as you can. You don't get the full rewards. You don't get the full prize. You get what you deserve. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Hadith al-Qudsi, "Udkhulu al-jannata birahmati waqtasimuha bi'amalikum." Enter Jannah because of my mercy. Divide Jannah into shares between you, okay, according to your deeds, according to your hard work, the work that you did in this life. And Allah said in Surah Al-Mutaffifun, "Min ajli dhalika falyatanafas al-mutanafisun." The true competition is competition to own more shares in Jannah. More shares in Jannah to achieve higher ranks and higher levels. That is the true genuine competition that is worthy to compete for. But any other competition is worthless. It's not even worthy for us to be engaged into. مِنْ أَجْلِ ذَٰلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. And in many places Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about people pay more price, get more reward. People pay less price, get less reward. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا يستوي القاعدين من المؤمنين غير أولي الضرر والمجاهدين في سبيل الله بأموالهم وأنفسهم وكلا وعد الله الحسنى وفضل الله المجاهدين على القاعدين فضلا عظيما درجات منه ومغفرة وفضلا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they are not equal in reward. The ones who go struggle, do jihad in the sake of Allah using their souls and wealth, versus the ones who sit and don't do it. Versus the one who sit and don't do it because they don't do it. Stay away from paying such a price. The price is heavy. Wife becoming a widow, kids becoming orphans, you know, money's being spent, maybe seized, God knows what is going to happen. It's a very tough price that Allah subhanahu, that the person has to pay. So, the ones who don't pay this price, and they don't have an excuse, غير أولي الضرر, they don't have an excuse a handicap. They are not handicapped. They don't have any physical disability that prevents them, or any like strong reason, compelling reason to prevent them from doing it. Okay, they will not be getting full reward, as much reward as the ones who does, even though both will be rewarded. كُلَّنْ وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَ. Both will get rewards. Those for as much they have paid, as much work they have done, and those for as much work they have done. But it's not going to be the same. And then وَفَضَّلَ اللَّهُ الْمُجَاهِدِينَ عَلَى الْقَاعِدِينَ أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا. That Allah has going to give the ones who pay the price of jihad over the ones who don't with great magnificent amounts. In the next verse, دَرَجَاتٌ مِّنْهُ وَمَغْفِرَةً وَفَضْلًا. Huge ranks, huge differences in ranks granted for him, granted from him subhanahu wa ta'ala. These differences in ranks are no way equivalent to these prices that were paid. The prices that are paid does not qualify to these ranks and grades. That's a favor from Allah, that he takes a penny and he gives you $1 million for it. However, you get the penny is not equivalent to $1 million. That's out of Allah's mercy. However, if you give 2 pennies, you get $2 million. You give 5 pennies, you get $5 million. So, you know, the fairness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is combined here together with his generosity, with his attribute, the most generous, Al-Kareem, with his attribute, the most thankful, Al-Shakur, to magnify the penny into $1 million, into $1 trillion. Okay? But the justice and the fairness of Allah will play a role in making 1 penny, $1 trillion, 2 pennies, $2 trillion, 3 pennies, $3 trillion. It's fairness. It's the fairness of Allah. We can't get away from the attributes of Allah. We can't partition them. We can't understand them one in the absence of others. They all have to be understood together, because they prevent misunderstanding. Because when they all are put together, they prevent any misunderstanding. They will nullify and correct any misunderstanding. So for example, when we say the mercy of Allah, if we combine it with the attribute of wisdom, we will know it's a wise mercy, which is a mercy in the right place, in the right time, for the right people who deserve the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But open mercy, it's given for the ones who deserve and don't deserve, which is not open, is not part of the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is not possible, because it will conflict with the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so forth, you know, Allah has given us these attributes and given us ways and tools and means to recognize them. When seeking izzah from other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people, Allah knows that, and Allah, of course, he actually intentionally created sources of fake izzah, other sources that can provide fake izzah, not true izzah. He did create these sources, and he did enable them and allow them to seduce his slaves and make them tempted into accepting their fake izzah in exchange of the true izzah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants. And the question is, the real question, the tough question is, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does that? And the answer is, to challenge our claims that we trust the izzah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than we trust any other izzah. Al-yaqeen, the quality of al-yaqeen, the trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which divides into many sub-qualities. One of them is al-yaqeen, that trust in the al-yaqeen fi izzatillah subhanahu wa ta'ala, trust in the izzah granted by Allah, true izzah granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We claim this quality for ourselves. And when we claim it for ourselves, then, of course, as it is the rule that Allah has established and committed Himself to, is the rule of exposing the truth, showing the truth about exactly who we are and where we belong, to challenge this claim. The rule that Allah has committed is to challenge the claim right away. وَلَقَدْ أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. That Allah has established this rule at the beginning of Surah Al-Ankabut, that He will test and challenge every single claim that we, every single quality that we claim for ourselves. And He is not going to let us get away with any single claim unchallenged and untested. It's not going to happen. Allah said, do people think that they will be left to claim qualities of faith without being tested? Indeed, we have tested the people before them. For Allah will expose the truth about the one who are sincere and truthful, and expose the truth about the liars who are faking it. To the people who are committing sins, in hidden sins, think that they can. To the people who are, to people who commit sins and pretend qualities, think that they are going to be more clever than us. How terrible is their thinking? How bad is their thinking? It's indeed such a bad thinking to think that they can deceive us, they can fool us, they can be more clever than us. Who is more clever than Allah? Who can get away claiming something false and fake without Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenging His claim and exposing the truth about him or her? One of the names of Allah is As-Sattar. This name is the cover of the shame, means the coverer of the shame, the most coverer of the shame. But how would this fit with the other rule that Allah has committed to Himself, that He is going to challenge what we claim and show the truth about us? Indeed, both fit together in the following way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will uncover the shameful truth about the ones who are ashamed of their own shame, who are ashamed of it, who cry to Allah to help them overcome their weaknesses, and who are trying and working hard. They work hard, they overcome their weakness for a period of time, then they fall into the weakness again, they cry and repent, and they do it, and they recover from this hard for a long time, and then they for some time, and then they go back into it again, and so forth. Continuous struggle. Allah says, I will never get bored from forgiving you until you get bored from asking for forgiveness. Doesn't matter how many times you do it. Every single time you cry for sincere forgiveness, you get it. The minute you give up on me, this is the minute when you lose. You give up on my mercy, then you lose. For those people, Allah covers them over and over and over again to help them out. Allah will never uncover them unless He wants to do them a favor. He wants, for example, to stop them. He wants to expose them to the punishment of the law, of the law of the land. Allah wants them to get that punishment. Maybe this is going to help them and increase their ability to resist and fight and keep the repentance that they have committed themselves to. Also another thing, that if they repent and they do not expose in this life, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will cover them up and not expose them in the hereafter. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us about the righteous one when he comes in the day of judgment, and Allah uncovers for him all his shameful deeds, bad deeds that he has covered for him in this life. And then that person gets very scared, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calms him down, because Allah loves him. He calms him down and he says, my slaves, I have forgiven them for you on this, and I will cover them. I have forgiven you them. I have covered them on your. I've covered your. I have covered them in the previous life for you in the previous life, and I will forgive them for you in this life. When the person who committed a shameful sin from the children of Israel, that person who's living among the children of Israel at the time of Prophet Musa, he committed a very shameful sin. As a result of this sin, Allah decided to withhold the rain as a punishment. The rain didn't come. The drought was very severe. The food chain started dying. The food chain that the humans depend on started dying. Water and grass and cattle. You know, no water, no grass, no cattle, no humans. So they started dying. So people started getting scared, praying. And Musa alayhi salam and the people start praying for Allah to relieve them from this disaster. Allah told Prophet Musa, Ya Musa, there is one among you who have committed a shameful deed because of which you are not and you will not get any rain. At that point, Musa alayhi salam announced to the people of Israel, children of Israel, that among us there's a person who has committed a bad sin for which we are being punished. So after a few hours the rain started coming, lots of rain, lots and lots and lots of rain started coming, abundant rain. Prophet Musa asked Allah, "Oh Allah, the rain came, what happened?" Allah said, "The slave who committed the shameful sin made sincere repentance. He made a sincere repentance, and I accepted his repentance, and I removed the punishment." So Musa alayhi salam asked Allah, he said, "Oh Allah, I want to know who is that person." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him, "Ya Musa, I have covered him when he was committing the sin, and I have covered him before he repented from the sin. Ya Musa, do you think I am going to uncover him to you after he has repented from the sin?" As-Sattar, the most coverer of the shameful deeds. When the people see a righteous man and they are so impressed and wowed about his manners, that he's so close from the manners of Allah, so close from the representation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on earth, when they are so wowed about him, the truth is that people are not really wowed about the truth of the matter is that people are not wowed about the truth of this person. People are being wowed about the satr, the cover that Allah has placed on this person to cover his shame. For indeed Allah, if Allah left his cover from that person, all our wows are going to go away. All our impression, the impression that he has on us, the way we're so impressed about these qualities that he has, will go away. We will when we will be disgusted from that person. So the message here is, whenever people praise you or say something good or nice about you or wowed about you or impressed about you, they are not impressed about something true that you have. They are impressed about the cover that Allah is providing to cover your shame. If Allah would left that cover for a minute, enough shame will be exposed in that minute that will make people disgusted from you until the day of judgment. So thank Allah for his cover. Thank Allah for his beautiful, wonderful, most attractive cover that he put on our faces, put on our bodies. And Hassan al-Basri used to say, "O you believers, if sins will spell, no believer will be able to set by another believer, because sins are smelling so bad. These sins in the day of judgment are going to be physically materialized, in this life. If Allah will materialize the sins to bad smells, no Muslim is going to be able to sit by another Muslim. In the day of judgment, these sins will be materialized to bad smell and bad image and bad look and bad life and bad house. So the sins that are not materializing in this life will be materialized in the hereafter." Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.